This is Lee Wilkins, your co-host with KBIA's Thinking Out Loud. And today with me in the studio is Adam Saunders. And we're going to be talking about the opening, or the official opening, if you will, of what I call the Urban Farm Project. But Adam, the first thing you're going to do is say, okay, the real official name of this is?
Columbia's Agriculture Park.
Okay. And it's where, it's right next to the Ark.
That's right.
And it's this huge project that I don't think started out that way. So why don't you sort of review for us what all is going to be involved in the agricultural park?
Yeah, Agriculture Park is a couple years in the making now and is a really good public-private collaboration between the City of Columbia Parks and Rec and three nonprofits that have been operating here in Columbia for many, many years. The oldest of which is the Columbia Farmers Market. They started selling back in 1980. From that site next to the Ark, it was the Boone County Fairgrounds from, I think, 47 until 91.
Yep.
A real mainstay of Columbia life for decades. And it's very cool to see now this project full circle to bring ag education, ag demonstration, excitement, the rural-urban connection back to this site, which it had, that was a role it played for so many years. So Columbia Farmers Market is one key player. The Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture is a group that I helped co-found back 10 years ago now.
Okay.
And we are an educational nonprofit that helps people connect connect the dots between seed to plate. And there's a lot of different ways to eat and grow, and we help people take those baby steps wherever they are on the learning curve or their experiential curve, whether it's the first time they're putting seeds in the ground or they're a high-level grower. We have a wide range of programming that we've been operating for the last 10 years, and we'll be doing that at the Agriculture Park. The third nonprofit is Sustainable Farms and Communities, and they're kind of the sister organization to the Farmers Market. And they do the Access to Healthy Foods program, which doubles the value of food stamps and WIC benefits for customers at the market. A really great service for the community.
So when this when the grand opening happens, okay, I know there have been stages for this, but when folks go out to the site the end of this month or in early May, what are they going to see that's going to be different than what was there, oh, say, last September or October?
Oh, my gosh. It's been a big change in the last, since construction started in July of 2018. The first middle third of the MU Healthcare Pavilion, all of the concrete for that. And so that pavilion will host the Columbia Farmers Market every Saturday and during the summer on Tuesday at midday for lunch and Thursday afternoons. And it's a big venue for a wide range of uses. So if your group or you're looking for a party or a celebration or a festival or a craft fair, Columbia now has a really great venue to host a wide range of outdoor events. It'll have some drop-down sidewalls for the winter. This will be the site for the Columbia Farmers Market year-round. And so that is a big kind of civic piece that will be used as much as possible throughout the year. And it's a large building. It's going to hold up. Eventually, when they put the east and west wings on it, it'll hold 98 farmer vendors under one big roof. In the short term, it's just the middle third. But in there's also bathrooms and storage. And so it's a nice, great gathering point. It helps create the identity for the market. You'll see it when you drive by. Remind, oh yeah, tomorrow's Saturday. I got to come out there and check that out. And it's just a great facility. People have been trying and dreaming about a roof for the farmers market for a long,
long time.
And really the stars have aligned with our partners. Parks and Rec has been amazing to work with. City Council. Everybody has been so good to work with. The generosity of Columbia has made this possible. And so it's a very exciting moment here coming up to have our opening day. April 27th is our day, and we've been waiting. It's been pushed back a couple times. And
well, there was no bad weather this winter.
Oh,
so
my God. This winter was brutal. And starting in November, so my hat goes off to GBH Builders. They're out of Jeff City. They're the contractor on this. They've been working almost every day and figuring out a way to continue to make progress in pretty horrible conditions. So my hat goes off to them for the hard work they've done.
So, but you said it's the MU Health Pavilion. So I want to bore in on that part of it just a little bit, because I think for many people, farmers market is about the food we eat, and there's not that real hard connection to health. But part of what is sort of the, I want to get the foundational principle here is to make these things a little more apparent to the average one of us who just likes to eat perhaps too much or of the wrong stuff or whatever. So talk a little bit about sort of the health component of this and how all of that's gonna focus in.
Right. MU Healthcare is a major supporter of this project. They are one of our lead donors of this project, and their name will grace the side of this pavilion for many years. And they see, and very aptly so, the important health connection between what we eat and how we live and our health. And we eat our medicine every day, three times a day, or we eat something that's not so good for us. And so preventative health care is really a key part of that, is what we eat and how we move and how we exercise. And so when we were in the early phases of this, looking at the ARC, which is the community gym there on site, how can we complement what the ARC does for physical activity with the other side of the coin of health, which is food? So how can the agriculture park be all about food? And the Columbia Farmers Market is that key spot. MU Healthcare has been great. They see, okay, yeah, we more than one put our name on this. We want to collaborate. And so we've had a lot of very interesting conversations and ideas that we've been brewing of, okay, what if this? What if that? And so we've got a lot of cool ideas that we'll be rolling out in the coming years.
So, and I know that MU Healthcare has been a big supporter, but there's also been some nationally known foundations, right, that have kicked in with this. So the one I'm remembering right now is Robert Wood Johnson. So I hope that's accurate. But
Missouri Foundation for Health is a major supporter. They have done a 4-year, $700,000 project with us to help the construction, but also the programming. So a big part of the programming, which I haven't talked about yet, is the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture. We offer a wide range of educational programming for kids, for families living with low income, for beginning farmers, to all take those baby steps that they need to either to grow food for themselves, put their first seeds in the ground, or to take it to the next level, to say, well, I grow some tomatoes, but I want to grow spring and fall crops. I want to grow through the winter months. There's all these baby steps. It's a long learning curve, and you don't have to be very far up the learning curve to get food. And that's such a rewarding thing. And when people get hooked, they put some seeds in the ground, and they eat those radishes in spring, or they eat that fresh spinach. I love this. I want to do more. What's my next step? And so people get that bug, and at this time of year in the spring, it's like the grass is greening up. You can't stay inside. You got to get out and turn the dirt. And so we help facilitate that excitement and curiosity and skill building for people of all ages. So we'll be doing that on site. We're putting in a big urban farm. About 3 acres will be in production. This will triple our production size from our current urban farm on College.
Uh-huh.
And all the food that we grow on site will take to the food pantry. The food bank here in town does a great job distributing food throughout Columbia and the region. And so we've kind of backed our way into being the food bank farm, taking food to the food pantry. That's supported through generous donations from folks through our Planting for the Pantry program. And so we'll continue that at the new site. And we're really excited to grow food there this season. We'll have some vegetables in the ground this summer. And we'll be really working on the soil. You have to have healthy soil to grow food. So that's the other thing you'll see when you come out on April 27th is the beginning of a garden. Big compost piles that are being spread. And really the start of what by the end of this time next year will be light years forward in development and fertility of the ground and plantings and the basic infrastructure of a big garden.
And I understand that part of what's planned is there's going to be an orchard of sorts and there are going to be bees, I assume honeybees.
That's right.
And all of these things are sort of going to be, I guess, together in a way that helps people not just see that this is the way that agriculture and growing food actually works, but where people can sort of participate with them, if you would.
Yeah, we'll have a big area that's kind of a model backyard. And so you will come in and you'll say, there's backyard scale raised beds, backyard in-ground beds, fruit trees, compost pile, chicken coop, all that are very approachable from your average backyard. We're dealing with the same problems that most folks are with soil compaction of our heavy clay soils here in Columbia.
There's no clay soil in Missouri.
Oh my gosh, uh-huh. Right? And so how do you get that to be functional and fertile and producing and resilient to pests and to drought? It can be done very easily, but you have to kind of watch and observe. And so our goal is to demonstrate that. And then over the years, provide an entry point for people to see, like, oh, I saw that at the Ag Park. I want to do that in my backyard. That looks like fun. I think my kids would like that. My grandkids would really enjoy blueberries. Like, well, how do we do that in our backyard? Mm-hmm. And so to spark that excitement for people, and then some basic troubleshooting, to how do we get over the, I want to do this, but how do I do this?
Or what is it that's eating my apple trees that I need to figure out how to get rid of that pest? And I assume in some of this, there's going to be some discussion about what I want to say, environmentally friendly ways to get rid of things or to enhance things.
Absolutely.
But help me out a bit there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many details of gardening that and one thing that gardeners love to do is talk about gardening.
Indeed.
And share about it. And so to create space for people to observe and learn and say, I've got this problem. I've got this, my tomato plants aren't looking very healthy or whatever it is. To create space for that, MU Extension is a great partner. We're working with them as well. This is to really help people at all different levels, from home gardeners to the vendors there, to see what varieties of green beans are we planting and how do they perform. And our goal is to provide that service of demonstration and knowledge and discussion and exploration for everybody across that spectrum, from first time people who've never put seeds in the ground to the farmers there who want to see and help learn themselves. So
and one of the things you said about the farmers there, so I've been to the Columbia Market a long time, but I also spent a while in Michigan and in Detroit, which has a famous farmers market called Eastern Market, but it's really different. Mm-hmm. Columbia's farmers market is what we call a producer's market. You want to explain exactly what that means?
Yeah, that's a really good thing about our Columbia farmers market that gives it a ton of integrity, that it's a producer-only market, meaning that the folks there who are selling food grew it themselves. That another way to say it is there's not reselling available. So you can't go down to Arkansas and buy melons and then come up here and resell them. If someone's selling melons, they grew them themselves. And so that guarantees that the dollars that you spend at the market get circulated in a 50-mile radius mm-hmm. to farmers that grow in that area. And so that is a really interesting economic loop that's not very common in our modern economy, that where cash from sales in town go to Chamois, in Centralia, in Jamestown, in Fulton, in Fayette. There's farmers from all those towns and those smaller farming communities between who depend on the market for part of their livelihood. And so it's not just a place to come and hang out and drink coffee and get produce, but for our mid-Missouri region, it's a place for all these farming communities to come together in central Columbia to have some economic activity and to circulate wealth through our community as well.
So one of the other things that I think that does is it... there's a lot of talk right now about the urban-rural divide, and I know some people don't consider Columbia very urban, but at least in our part of Missouri, it's the most urban place we've got. And it's a place where Columbians can brush up against people who make their living in a very rural way. I know you guys did that deliberately, but have you seen anything come out of that? Any sort of different kind of conversation, perhaps, that might be happening?
Every Saturday, the meeting occurs. It's a big event that have a couple thousand people show up every Saturday. It's a big production. So my hat goes off as well to the staff of the Columbia Farmers Market for pulling that off, and all the vendors and all the customers who come out there. So if you're listening, you're like, I've not been to the Columbia Farmers Market in a while, come check it out. Come down to the opening. We've got an amazing new facility. We've got great vendors. We've got Columbia Farmers Market continuously wins awards for having a really robust, diverse product suite and really great environment with live music and great games for educational projects for kids. And that education workshops and those activities are just taken up another notch now that the Columbia Farmers Market will be there with the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture. So our educational work will be doing programming. We have workshops every Saturday now through the end of the year, kids activity every Saturday. So bring your kids, bring your grandkids, bring your curiosity, your learning hat, and come check it out.
So we can teach our kids and our grandkids that the milk comes from the cow, not the carton.
That's right. There's a big disconnect. And that's an aha moment when you're like, oh. And that's just critical thinking that's good across the board. And so that's something we've seen a lot with our work with education, is that the transferable skills of science and critical thinking and problem solving and patience that come with gardening are transferable to so many parts of life, to having a job, to starting a business, to raising kids, to all the ripple effects of having a garden go a lot of ways that are not necessarily thought of in the first blush, but after you see where they go. And I've just got stories for days about our staff and how working in neighborhoods around town with families to set up a home garden, or with the school groups who come, or our work at local schools. Our goal is to help reach people where they're at and work with something that everybody does, which is eat. Everybody eats every day, and everybody's interested in food. And so that has an interesting equity side, that we work with bank presidents and real estate folks, and we work with refugees and folks who live in public housing, and they all like, how do you trellis your tomatoes? What's your favorite pepper variety? And it's the same conversation. We're all on the same level, and it's a very fun way to connect with people.
So this is the opening of this phase.
Right.
And so explain, this phase goes through how long, and then what are the subsequent phases that are going to come online for, to mix metaphors only entirely.
No, that's, yeah. So we've been raising money since basically November of 2016, and we've raised over $4 million in just 2.25 years, which is pretty awesome. So again, thank you to all the generous donors who have helped make that happen. And so that gets us the pavilion, the middle third, all the groundwork, all the utility upgrades, the sidewalks throughout the site. Our CCUA's barn is being built this spring. Our one-room schoolhouse is being built this spring. All the gardens and infrastructure is being built this spring. Big stormwater, earthworks. A lot has already been done and is in process this growing season. So that's all phase one. Phase two is the east and west wings of the MU Healthcare Pavilion, which will put all of that space under a big roof.
And then, that will be for the 90-some vendors, right? When all that comes under the big roof.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And then the other key piece that's in the second phase is an event space, kitchen, and resource center. So it's all fully conditioned space, about 10,000 square foot building. And so a big flexible event space. So it can be run as a farm to table dinner, but it can be run as a clinic. And so that's some of the conversations we've had with our physicians and our friends at MU Healthcare. It's like, how can we use this space to complement the medical infrastructure of our town? How can we use this site with the ARC and all the good healthy food and the kitchen there to promote a preventative health issues? And so there's that big event space, but a nice big commercial kitchen, teaching kitchen, that can be rented out as kind of a commissary kitchen for food trucks or entrepreneurs or caterers, and also used for cooking classes. You know, when we have kids that walk through our garden on field trips, we eat. Because if you're not eating when you walk through a garden, you're kind of missing the point. And so you've got to taste. And so we teach knife skills to kids. Like, we just pick the spinach. Let's chop it and let's make a salad. And so that's, the kids really take that seriously and do a great job. And that's a skill, just as if you were a new gardener, and you're like, okay, plant a garden. You're kind of overwhelmed. And
yeah.
Same paralysis can occur in a kitchen of like, here's a bunch of raw produce.
Now what do I do?
Make a meal. It's like, I don't know what to do. But if you have a mentor or you see examples and you get the muscle memory of chopping and stirring and all the different things, it becomes easier and easier and more fun. And so to use that kitchen space to help people take those baby steps and to facilitate that intergenerational education, and that's a really nice and really a really nice kitchen for the community.
Well, and I would imagine that a kitchen like that could also in some ways be I've never seen a kale plant before, so now you've showed me a kale plant, but I have no clue as to what to do with it.
Exactly.
Or what it's going to taste like. And so it's so that is a food source that you no longer ignore because you just don't know what to do with it.
Right. Is there if you don't know what it is, you would never pick it out at the market or the grocery store. You never buy those seeds to grow it. But to say, oh, well, this is a different variety. Oh, I like this taste. And then how do you make it taste good?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. If food doesn't taste good, it's not going to be as enjoyable. You're not going to return to it. And so it's a nice space to learn those skills, to practice that. And then the third big piece of that building is a resource center. So working with Extension and the library. and the staff of CCUA and the Columbia Farmers Market to have office space there. But how do we have space so people can get publications from Extension? We're talking with the library. How do we get make access to books about cooking and gardening and other resources? And like, there's, it's a really exciting opportunity to possibly rent out cooking equipment or gardening equipment. Those are conversations we're having now that have, that we can help people take those steps to reduce the barriers to canning or to expanding their garden or any, whatever that step people may need.
Well, and Columbia is small enough that I think we probably don't have food deserts in the same way that, that bigger urban areas like St. Louis or Detroit might. But still, there are places where good food is less plentiful and certainly less easy to access, especially if you're walking or you don't drive or whatever it is. So I'm assuming that that part of this is to sort of up our game as a community so that we don't have as much of that or don't have the pockets that we do now.
That's right. That's right. And to identify those problems and to find allies in the community who are ready to push in and try to find innovative solutions in their neighborhood and in their broader through a faith community or through their work, or there's so many different angles and strategies to do that. And it's all about food. So it's like getting people, it's a fun way to do community development is because everybody eats in the through the process. So to have a venue to bring people together to eat is an exciting proposition as well.
So how long do you think it's going to be after the 27th of April 2019 that we're going to see this second phase begin to emerge?
That's a great question. And really, it, it depends on fundraising, honestly. So we've raised, like over, like I said earlier, over $4 million in just over 2 years. And so when we can secure the pledges and donations for that second phase, we will ramp that up.
And is there a target fundraising goal for the second phase?
Yeah, I think those two pieces are a little over $3 million, the wings and that building. And there's a couple other minor pieces throughout. So somewhere around three and a half is what we're looking for.
Well, so, yeah, right. Not a big number. Yike.
Yeah, we got to be patient. I mean, it took us, you know, we've been working on this project for almost 4 years from the beginning idea to today and then fundraising for just over two. So I'm pretty excited about the progress we've made thus far. We have we designed the phasing so that at the end of phase one, which we're at, we have a usable resource that's functional and can work and can grow and can invite people in to see it. And we're looking forward to walking through there and saying, man, I'm really looking forward to these wings being done. That won't be great when that's available. Which that helps generate the excitement of saying, yeah, let's finish this. Let's get together. Let's get our friends together and say, let's lean in and do this.
So by the time it's done, when phase one is completed and then when phase two is completed, however long or short that is, Columbia is going to be looking at something like about an what, an $8 to $10 million facility that will be essentially devoted to how to eat well for your better health and fun and whatever else.
There's a lot. I equate this project to a big onion. There's a lot of layers.
Oh
to
boy.
It.
Okay. You know, so a vegetable metaphor.
I love it. That's why I got in agriculture for the puns. So it's a big onion. There's a lot. Like there's like the farmers market, access to good food, the economic development, the kids' education, the field trips that we have at the site. Last year we had over 10,000 kids come through our urban farm, and we are really bootstrapping there. So to scale that up on this better facility. To that, we use this site as a base for our outreach to the neighborhoods. We do a program that's called Opportunity Gardens that we do 3 years of home garden mentoring for families living with low income. And we meet them at their house. We put a garden in and work with them to try to try new vegetables and do more and try new things and get it into the kitchen. And we stay with the family for 3 years. And so that program has been going on. It's our eighth year now. We have about 100 families in that program at any given time. And so that there's a back end of that of we have to supply all our raised bed materials and our compost and all of that storage would be based out of this site as well. So that's a big layer of the onion. Then just the beautification for the neighborhood. That's a big public park. And so just like Stevens Lake Park is for the east side of downtown, the Agriculture Park and the Arc is a nice jewel in the Parks Department portfolio that's going to serve that neighborhood for people who want to go for a walk. And they're on their way across town, and they want, like, well, let's walk through the beautiful gardens. Let's go across the street to Shelter Gardens. Let's spend some time. Let's go during the market. Let's get some food. Let's eat a sandwich, and let's take some produce home for dinner tonight. And so it's a nice destination for folks locally, but also for folks throughout the state and throughout the region to host conferences and meetings. We'll have that meeting and conference space available.
So I'm assuming, but you'll correct me, that when this comes to fruition, one of the things that we're aiming at is to be able to eat locally year round, so that maybe I won't be able to enjoy strawberries in February, which I got to admit I do.
Frozen strawberries.
Yeah. No, I like the fresh ones that the grocery store has. But the whole notion of being able to eat with the calendar, if you will, or
absolutely,
by the seasons.
It's doable right now. If folks out there who haven't been to the winter market, check that out this coming winter. There's a good 30 plus vendors who are there every Saturday with fresh produce, with bread, with meat, with cheese, with storage vegetables that were harvested that fall. So sweet potatoes, squash, and fermented goods and canned goods that we take that bounty of the summer, and you have a tomato sauce that you mix into your chili that's going to taste like summer. And that's what you need on a cold winter day, is some of that lycopene and vitamins and sunshine in your diet. And it's possible to eat seasonal year-round. It definitely is. It takes a little bit of planning. It takes a little bit of adventure to try new things. And I think it's a grounding thing now when you see, okay, well, this is the spring. Well, what's coming up now? Asparagus. I only do asparagus for about a month a year. And when it's here, I eat a lot of it because it's really good. And then asparagus season's over, and I'm not sad about it because now all my salad greens and my kale and and we're getting closer to new potatoes. And that's that progression of the diet can go rolls through the season, and it keeps it interesting.
So again, in our last few minutes, remind everybody this is on Saturday, April 27th. At what time? And how can people come and how can people get involved?
Yeah, so the Columbia Agriculture Park is opening this coming April 27th. Be there 8 o'clock is the opening bell for the farmer's market.
In my pajamas?
It goes till noon.
Okay.
So come out and walk the market. It's going to be the first time all the vendors have been in there, the first time all the customers have been in there. So we're going to have we'll be giving tours throughout the day, handing out information about our workshop series. We have our donor wall. We have over 588 people and businesses and organizations who have given to this project thus far. It's incredible. We'll have all their names listed there who've helped get this started. Later this summer, on July 13th, we're going to have a park dedication. The grass will be greener and everything will be, the gardens
will be further
along.
The flowers will be up.
And so that's where we'll bring everybody out. We'll do a big ceremony at that point with speeches and a big ceremony to formally dedicate that park. So put that on your calendar as well. July 13th, there'll be some fun giveaways and prizes. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I'm assuming that there is a website for folks who either might like to donate or just learn more about it. Can you remind us what that address is?
Yeah, our campaign we've called Build This Town. So if you go to buildthistown.org, there's great fly-through rendering. We have amazing rendering that our architects, SOA, Simon Oswald Architects, put together. That's a beautiful view of what this site will be and its full build-out. And great pictures and a time lapse. We have a camera that's taken a picture of construction every 5 minutes since last of July. So it's very cool to see those. We post those regularly to see, oh, they poured more concrete. Oh, the steel's going up, you know, to see all those phases from beginning to end. And we'll release a video here as we close out construction and to kind of show, okay, wow, what a long way from just an open field and a little chip and seal parking lot that the market used to be on to a beautiful facility for our community.
So, Adam Sanders, thank you very much for speaking with us at Thinking Out Loud. Again, the date is April 27th and then July 13th for the official dedication.
But every Saturday, come on out.
Okay.
And then in early May, the market will be also selling on Thursday for lunch, or Tuesday for lunch and Thursday afternoon. So come out and visit. And if you want a walk through the park, come on out.
All right. Adam, thank you so much. This
thank
is
you.
Lee Wilkins for Thinking Out Loud.